You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Clinic says to bundle up and get outside.
Kids like it. Kids like kicking in the leaves, making piles, jumping in the puddles. Get out there and make it fun.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
On today's program, I'll thank Crown Trophy founder Chuck Weisenfeld for his recent unannounced visit. On today's program, I'll be talking about when it's okay to show a bad customer the door, why Playboy is saying cover up, the six signs that you are not cut out for entrepreneurship, five unusual marketing ideas for your business, and why your business or you might need a task management system. It's Thursday, October 15th, 2015, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime.
And before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 59 degrees at 12:04. The forecast shows that for today it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 64 degrees and a low tonight of 47 under mainly clear skies. For tomorrow, or as I like to call it, Friday Night Lights Friday, it'll be partly sunny with some showers and a high of 66 with a low of 41. For Saturday, it'll be cooler with clouds and sun and a high of 57, a low of 33. And for Sunday, or as I call it, someone's having a surprise party Sunday, it'll be partly sunny, breezy, and cool with a high of 53 and a low of 32. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour or so, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well.
Taking care of business. Every way we be taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 29.13 to 16,953.88. The NASDAQ up 15.84 to 4798.69. S&P 500 is up 5.09 to 1999.33. Oil down $1.07 to $45.57 per barrel, and gold is up $5.40 to $1,185.20 an ounce. Well, it's been the trials and tribulations of the Crown Trophy rebuild, or as we're now dubbing it, the Crown Trophy Big Dig of 2015, is rolling right along, and we finally got the go-ahead to start painting yesterday, so... Took off all my clothes, put on all my paint clothes, and went down to Sherwin-Williams and bought all the paint that I will be needing, or at least some of the paint that I will be needing. And so that's rolling right along. So the first coat of primer should be on today. Second coat of primer will start tomorrow, and then we'll start putting the color on the walls. So getting ready to get back and reopen the showroom come November 1st. Had a little bit of a hiccup last week. This all started because the sewer kept backing up in the rear of our store. And then last week, right after I got off the air, I went back to the store, and the guy who was doing the sheetrock goes, "Did your staff call you?" I'm like, "No, what's the matter?" And he said, "Well, the sewer's backing up." And sure enough, the sewer backed up into the store again. I lost my lid. I absolutely flipped out. Don't recall getting that mad in quite some time. And let the landlord have it, let the owner have it, and told them what they could do with their building. And I'm sure that would hurt, but you know, where they were going to put it. But it looks as if there'll be a meeting, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. So hopefully we'll get that resolved. But in the meantime, I have to keep pushing forward so that we can get that showroom back open as we get towards the end of the fall busy season and into the holiday season. So muscles are a little tired. I'm trying to do all this painting with a little bit of a cold that I picked up on my trip to Charlotte last week. And, you know, you just got to keep pushing through. That's all you can do. I had a great visit with my son, Colin, last week. We flew down to Charlotte and visited him at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. They were on their fall break, so he stayed with us for a few days. And we went to the NASCAR race, which was supposed to be Saturday night, got rained out, turned into a Sunday day race, and that was won by Joey Logano. We'll have more on that during sports, but it was great to be back at the racetrack, to hear the noise, to see the sights, to see the cars up close. It was just great to be back at the racetrack, and I used to go all the time to Pocono and forgot how much I actually missed being at the track. And then we visited Joe Gibbs Racing on Monday, which was great, being able to show my kids how a race shop works, how clean it is. And I think that made a great impression on my older son, who is running my sign and apparel division over at Crown Trophy, and because he was cleaning all day, Tuesday, Wednesday. But it just goes, you know, one of the things I've always told people is we have to maintain a clean shop. You have, you know, what I say is return the shop back to neutral at the end of the day so that when you come in the morning, you're not walking into a mess. And so it was good that he got to see that. And the funny thing was seeing all the workers, whether they're working, you know, in the fab shop or anywhere else, all wearing the same outfit, black T-shirt, black pants. And we took my younger son shopping because he needed some clothes to finish out the rest of the year. And next thing you know, Brandon had, you know, three pairs of black pants with him. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "This is my new uniforms." And so he was definitely influenced by the visit there. Monday, we visited a Brazilian steakhouse, and I think Colin may have been stacking up. What's the animal that eats a bunch just before winter and they go into hibernation? Because I think that's what Colin did at the Brazilian steakhouse. This is one of those restaurants where you get a card that says yes, please, or no, thank you, meaning telling the server whether or not to bring more food. I don't think his flipped over once. So it was good to see him having a good time with that. Now, it's pet peeve time. And this is one that just absolutely drives me nuts, and that's spelling mistakes. And I see them everywhere I go. I see them in newspapers. I'll see them in menus at restaurants and things like that. It just drives me nuts. And I think I mentioned that, excuse me, there is a local bagel store that is offering omelets because they spelled omelet wrong. So I'm tempted to walk in there one day and just order a ham and cheese omelet and see what I get. But it was, so this was a decoration in our hotel room. So we're in one hotel room and it's just a framed picture of the alphabet. The letters are rearranged somewhat. And so you go all the way through the alphabet. I'm looking at this. I go, there is something wrong with this. And then it caught me. There were two R's in the alphabet. So in your head, just go through the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, all the way through. But when you get to the R, say R twice. It made no sense. So I took a picture of it. I posted it on Facebook. I put it on the Taking Care of Business Facebook page as well. A couple people commented on that. And then something happened. We had to move our room. We had to move down like three doors. There was a problem in our room. So we moved down three doors. And same decoration, same two R's in the alphabet. So that just drove me a little bit crazy. I was tempted to take it and, you know, be able to show people that I'm not making this stuff up. But unfortunately, it was screwed into the wall, so I didn't have my toolbox with me. Well, on Wednesday, or no, Tuesday, we had the Democratic presidential debate and some more preseason theater, if you will call it. And this was with Hillary Clinton, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, former Rhode Island Governor and Senator Lincoln Chafee, and former U.S. Senator Jim Webb. And the takeaway from this was that nobody knew much about O'Malley, Chafee, and Webb. And I'm not sure that we know any more now. But what was interesting was to see whether or not any of those three candidates would take a little bit of the market share, if you will, away from Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I believe Martin O'Malley probably came out as the best of the three. Jim Webb seemed very stiff, had a couple of good ideas, but was just too stiff, couldn't relate to the people. And if you go back to the Nixon-Kennedy debate, that was one of the things that people said about Nixon at the time and why he probably lost. First, he didn't wear makeup, and second, he was just too stiff. And Kennedy came across looking healthier because he had worn the makeup and more relaxed. And so I think you're probably going to see that Jim Webb at some point will bow out. Lincoln Chafee, he just kept stumbling over himself. He was asked by Anderson Cooper a question on one of his first votes. And he goes, "You got to remember, I had just shown up. My father had just died. I was appointed to the office, and I made that vote." And they're going, "Are you saying you voted and didn't know what you were voting on?" And you could tell it was one of those gotcha moments. And so there was really no recovery from that. So I had posted on Facebook the other night that it looked as if O'Malley was really one of the stronger candidates. And, boy, all the people that live in Maryland just blasted me. So they're not a big fan of Martin O'Malley in the state of Maryland. Now, Bernie Sanders had a lot to say. But the other thing that bothers me about him was that he's 74 years old. So by the time he's elected, he'll be 76. Two terms would put you at 84 years old by the time you get out. And he had a couple of moments there where it was like he didn't either understand the question, didn't know how to make the response. He just, you know, wasn't as crisp as he needed to be. Hillary came off pretty well. I think Bernie helped her when he said, enough of the emails already. Let's get on to the issue. So I did like that point. The only problem I had with Bernie Sanders, with all the programs that he's trying to institute and adopt here, you know, more entitlement programs, if you will, welfare-type programs, how do you pay for all of it? That's the biggest issue that I think is going to be facing him. And I think that that's something that is going to be his downfall at the end, because until you come up with a plan, how are you going to pay for it? It's just not going to be there. We have breaking news, and we'll get to that right after the break. But you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. Now it's time to pull out your calendars and get ready for some exciting events coming up through the Chamber. And the first would be the Card Club, which is going to be on Friday, October 30th from 8 to 9:30 a.m. And that is the Sunny Side Up Card Club. You can wear your Halloween costume and win prizes. It'll be Friday, October 30th, like I mentioned, from 8 to 9:30 a.m. at the Financial Resources Federal Credit Union at 67 Church Street in Flemington. You need to register online at www.100chamber.org. Shortly after that, on Tuesday, November 3rd, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., there will be an Election Night Card Club. That's going to be held at PNC Bank, 240 Route 202 in Flemington. Again, pre-registration is required, and you can do that at www.100chamber.org. And then you want to circle this one. This is one of the biggest events in Hunterdon County, and that is the Hunterdon Holiday Parade. That'll be taking place on Sunday, December 6th. It'll, of course, be starring Santa Claus, and that'll be happening on Main Street in Flemington at 5 p.m., presented by Hunterdon Radiological Associates, PA, and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. We have breaking news coming into the newsroom right now. It appears that Playboy magazine is going to end publishing fully nude female photos. What? That's right. This just in, Playboy magazine is ending the publishing of fully nude female photos, but the poses, they promise, will still be provocative. Playboy will no longer publish photos of nude women as part of a redesign, the decades-old magazine announced on Tuesday. The magazine will still feature women in provocative poses, but they will no longer be fully nude, Playboy said in a statement. The change, which is to take place in March, represents a major shift for the magazine, you think? Which broke new ground when Hugh Hefner created it and featured Marilyn Monroe on its debut cover in 1953. It marks the latest step away from depictions of full nudity, which were banned from the magazine's website in August of 2014. The magazine claims its website audience soared with that move, averaging a 400% increase in monthly unique visitors. The political and sexual climate of 1953 bears almost no resemblance to today, said Playboy Enterprises CEO Scott Flanders. We are more free to express ourselves politically, sexually, and culturally today, and that's in large part thanks to Hef's heroic mission to expand those freedoms. Officials acknowledge that Playboy has been witnessing widespread changes. You're now one click away from every sex act imaginable for free. Wait a minute, let me check that. Hold on. Click that. Wow, you are. Okay, and it's just too passe at this juncture, Flanders told the New York Times. Playboy editor Corey Jones recently contacted Hefner about dropping nude photos from the print edition, and he agreed, the Times reported. Playboy's print circulation, once measured in millions, is now about 800,000, according to Alliance for Audited Media, the newspaper reported. The shift from nudity will be accompanied by other changes in the magazine, including a slightly larger size and a heavier, higher quality of paper, meant to give the magazine a more collectible feel. Previous efforts to revamp Playboy have never quite stuck, although the pages might have. Oh, come on, you know I couldn't resist that one. But this time, as the magazine seeks to compete with younger outlets, Flanders said it sought to answer a key question. If you take nudity out, what's left? Well, now it looks as if we're going to actually have to read the articles in Playboy. And yes, gentlemen, there actually are articles in Playboy. So that is the breaking news of the day. Playboy going nude free. And what is a provocative pose when you're fully clothed? I'm working on that here. You can't see me, but I'm working on provocative poses, and it's just not doing it for me. So I apologize. All right. I have had this argument with many business owners over the years, if you will, the decades practically. And a lot of times business owners, first of all, they think they know it all, and they don't. And let's be clear on that. And I don't know everything, but I've always had a problem when a business owner or any business says they're going to fire a customer. And I came across an article that kind of laid out the reasons why you should, and I fully agree with them. And so I'm going to go ahead and put an asterisk next to my never fire a customer approach and say, unless these things happen. So if you're building a successful small business, it takes ingenuity, it takes perseverance, and it takes stamina. But once you've established yourself, staying at the top of your game requires exceptional customer service. Your clients are your biggest assets and worth the care and effort put into building those relationships. But every once in a while, a bad seed gets into the mix and you find yourself face to face with the customer from hell. So what do you do? Well, now you fire them. Now, telltale signs you have a customer worth kicking to the curb are as follows. Number one, you lose money investing too much time in their escalating demands. Number two, you put aside business obligations while taking care of needs that fall outside of your normal offerings. Number three, their requests violate your values and the values of your company. And number four, they are emotionally abusive to you or your staff. Now, even if the words "the customer is always right" were drilled into your head early on, know that that's an archaic assumption and, frankly, untrue. Some customers are worth giving up to avoid unnecessary stress, expense, or affecting the well-being of a valued employee. What do you think? Let me know by going onto our Facebook page, which is Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and let me know if you believe you should ever fire a customer. Interesting dynamic, because I haven't really looked at it that way. Obviously, I would never want anybody to be abusive towards my employees, but one of the things that that article mentioned was that if you're losing too much money on escalating demands that the customer is making, and part of that is when you're new, you'll probably take on a little bit more than you normally would with certain customers. They may ask certain things of you. I have a woman who's been asking me for weeks, do I know anybody that owns a food truck? And I don't. So at this point, stop asking me. Now, maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I first opened, I would have gotten into the Yellow Pages or Google, and I would have found a bunch of food trucks and done that research for it. But I can't do that now because I'm just way too busy. So interesting concept, and I'd love to hear your comments on how you think about that and whether or not it is appropriate at any time to fire a customer. Excuse me. Currently 12:23. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andchamberradio.com. I have 5 unusual marketing ideas for your business, and I tripped across these, and I noticed that a lot of these are things I've been doing all along. I just thought it was commonplace, but now they're saying that this is things you should be doing is a different way of marketing your business. So now, why waste your time with one more marketing guide? You already know the basics, and you've probably heard the advice a million times. Create a mission statement, find your audience, create awesome content, and then promote. And while there's definitely more to it than that, you get the gist. But what your business really needs are some innovative marketing ideas that will set you apart from competitors and make customers come to you. That may sound easier said than done, but you'll be off and running after you go over these 5 unusual marketing ideas for new businesses. And a lot of these apply to existing businesses. Number one, make a strange bedfellow. Now, you've probably heard that once upon a time, M&M's, my favorite candy in the world, were offered a starring role in E.T. The offer was turned down, so the film went with Reese's Pieces instead. Now, while that hiccup didn't remove M&M's from grocery store shelves, it did help make Reese's Pieces an extremely popular candy. The idea here isn't that it's not going to hurt your startup by teaming up with an unexpected partner or place to promote it. It could be something as easy as showing off your product in a video. Think about Snoop Dogg wearing Tommy Hilfiger back in the 90s, to delivering beer to fans at the Apikapi Festival in South Africa via drones. In either case, you'll be tapping into a different office. Number two, you want to be everywhere. Now, this doesn't mean just blogging or being active on social media, which you should be doing anyway. It literally means to be everywhere. You want to be that brand that people notice when they're walking down the streets. Even if they don't know what your startup does, they're going to recognize your name. Now, some examples would be commissioning a mural on a building and covering the streets with chalk, paint, or displays. You can also make up bumper stickers and t-shirts and give them to employees or as freebies at events. They may not be the most unusual, but a creative shirt not only lets people have the chance to be different, it will make others want to jump on board. Think Zarly shirts floating around the Bay Area. In short, don't be invisible. Get your name out there as much as possible. You also want to be a hero and save the day. At some point, you've read that a business should be donating money or sponsoring a charity. Just make your startup look good, and while that's all well and good, you can always take that to the next level by being a hero to your community. For example, there was a beer turnstile campaign in which people could pay for their train ride with empty beer cans following Carnival. However, the cans had to be from Ambev's Antarctica Beer, who saw a way to spark a recycling program. Another cool example from Brazil was the Rescue Drive campaign. Orca Chevrolet drove around looking for standard motorists and then offered them a free test drive so that they could make it to work, home, or wherever they wanted to go. And over in Thailand, billboards were used as shelters for the homeless on the Other Side project. Number four, you want to show some skin. Well, not literally, unless that's the kind of attention you're looking for. And remember, Playboy is not doing it anymore. Of course, I mean metaphorically. This means giving your startup a personality. Think of Dollar Shave Club. The startup launched a beta version in April 2011, but it wasn't until March of 2012 when everyone noticed the Razor Blade subscription service. A comical ad featuring co-founder and CEO Michael Durbin took off, resulting in 12,000 orders in the first 2 days, and the company's website was crashing within the first hour. The ad was funny, but also introduced people to the company and the man who has a love for shaving at an affordable price. And finally, number five, have your customers become a part of the team. Now, while listening to and engaging your customers are vital tactics in each and every of your marketing campaigns, you really want to raise the bar and make them feel like part of the team. That's what the Karl Lagerfeld store of Amsterdam achieved in 2013. The store equipped dressing rooms with iPads and a wall-mounted touchscreen and camera. The idea was to have customers share their new looks with social media and email contacts. There was also an Instagram-style filter that could be used to create a look back. It was fun and engaging and a great way to promote the brand, and it achieved that by making the customers feel like they were part of something bigger. So there you have it, five unusual ideas for you to take to change the way you're marketing your business, including co-promoting with another brand, being everywhere, be a hero and save the day, show some skin, and have customers become a part of your team. We're going to step away, take a break for the news. When we come back, we're going to ask the question, does your business or you need a task management system? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. President Obama will extend the American troop presence in Afghanistan.
I've decided to maintain our current posture of 9,800 troops in Afghanistan through most of next year. Their mission will not change. Our troops will continue to pursue training Afghan forces and going after al-Qaeda.
Speaking at the White House, Obama says that number will be reduced by about half into 2017. The president insisted that U.S. forces will not be in combat roles. He noted that Americans will continue training and advising Afghan security forces on counterterrorism operations. He called the new plans modest but meaningful. About 70 million Americans are getting some bad news this morning. There'll be no annual raise in Social Security benefits in 2016. The announcement by the Social Security Administration means about 7 million Americans could see their Medicare premiums go up by 50%. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. And taking a look at the weather before we get back into the program. It's currently 59 degrees at 12:30. Today it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 64 degrees and a low tonight of 47 under mainly clear skies. For tomorrow, or as I like to call it, Friday Night Lights Friday, it'll be partly sunny during the day with some showers and a high of 66 and a low of 41. For Saturday, it'll be cooler with clouds and sun and a high of 57 and a low of 33. And for Sunday, or as I call it, someone's having a surprise party, it'll be partly sunny, breezy, and cool with a high of 53 and a low of 32. Yeah, I mentioned that I'm looking at tomorrow as if it's Friday Night Lights Friday. I am having an absolute blast. Now, for 30 years now, I've been announcing Bridgewater Raritan High School football, and we are this year, for the first time that I can ever remember, 5-0. And we have knocked off some really big teams. We've knocked off Phillipsburg, which nobody expected, 100 Central, Anna Franklin, Hillsboro, Elizabeth last week, and Union. And here we sit at 5-0. And it's just fun to watch how, you know, special teams is doing a great job. We have an excellent kicker. He's ranked number 3 in the country. Offense is doing well, moving the ball both in the running game and in the passing game. Defense is playing solid. And, you know, there are times when you're sitting up there in the press box going, oh, God, I've got 2 more hours of this. And now it's like, yay, give me 3 more quarters. I'm having a great time. So it's all good and looking forward. And hopefully we can come out of tomorrow night at 6-0 as we play Watchung Hill. So looking forward to that. Now, let's talk about task management systems. And this can be something as simple as a whiteboard, a notepad, or whatever, but does your business or do you need a task management system? Now, if you own a business that has experienced growth, then you probably are familiar with the difficulty of keeping track of all the important tasks that need to be carried out daily. And as you grow, the number of tasks, along with their complexity, is going to evolve. This creates a need to manage who is doing what, how long it is taking, and when they are doing it. Now, a task management system empowers you to manage your entire team. Having a set list, a set goal, and a process for maintaining priorities can increase productivity tenfold. For us, at Crown Trophy, we use a program from Google called Smartsheet. Every order goes on to Smartsheet, the due date is on there, and everybody knows what they have to do. A task management system completely empowers your team to work towards a common goal and facilitates easy communication and collaboration. It also allows management across all of your teams to be simplified and puts the control back into your hands. But what is a task management system? Now, a task management system is software, often cloud-based, that allows for easy management of tasks and time within a business. And task management systems take the guessing and the predicting out of management and empower you to make smarter decisions based on real data. You can set tasks with prioritization in mind, and you can set deadlines on tasks and activities. You can also set milestones, goals, and requirements to ensure that anything that needs to be done gets done. What options are out there and what is best for you? Now, there are many different task management systems out there, and not all systems do the same thing. There is, however, a set of goals that all task management systems should aim to do, and some of those are set and command tasks instantly and easily to make project management easier. Enable cross-worker collaboration with easy file sharing and communication. Track and manage the costs of projects and tasks to identify what is profitable and to enable better resource allocation. It also should present statistics and data in an easily digestible manner to allow for easier assessment on progress. Finally, it should be built on a scalable system that can grow as your business grows. Now, when you decide on what task management system you want to implement into your business, you should consider a few things. And one of the most important is whether or not the system can be integrated with your existing systems, and also what else can integrate with the task management system directly. Remember, if you have too many separate systems, the complexity of managing them all can easily become a task in itself. The task management system that is right for you is the one that empowers you and your employees to work together more efficiently. Then you have to ask the question, do I need one? Now, task management systems are useful to any business, even new ones. Investing in such a system will allow your employees to stay on track and keep up to date, which will in turn increase their and your productivity. Also, these systems are completely scalable, so if you invest now, even as a small business, the system will grow alongside of you. Task management keeps your employees sane, makes your life less complex, and shifts the focus away from management to working. The question is not, do I need one? The question should be more, which one do I get? So a little bit on task management. Like I said, you can use a whiteboard when you're getting started. You can use a whiteboard as your business evolves. We had one that was like 4x6, and it kept every job up to date. The only problem was we outgrew it, and that's when we had to go digital and use Smartsheet. So whatever you pick, just use it. Get your staff on board with it and make sure that they're going to update it on a regular basis as well. If you watch the movie Coach Carter, there was a question at one point where Coach Carter asks, what is your biggest fear, young man? And most of the kids couldn't answer that question the first time it was asked. It's safe to say that if Samuel L. Jackson were to walk into your business today and he said, what is your biggest fear, young man? You might also not have the right answer. Not that there's any wrong answer, but you, right off the top of your head, you might not be able to come up with your top two or three fears as it pertains to your business. Well, there's a list of 10 fears that entrepreneurs have, small business owners have, and I want to share it with you now because I think a lot of times when you're running a small business, you have the same type of fears. And then you're actually fearful of having fears, if that makes sense. You know, why am I feeling this way? Why am I worried about this so much? So what this is doing is taking a lot of the fears that entrepreneurs have said and compiled it into one great list. The other day, I was watching a video with Marcus Lemonis, and his show, The Profit, will be returning to CNBC in just a few weeks. And so I was kind of getting updated on, every now and then I'll go to YouTube, and there's a lot of Marcus Lemonis videos on there that are sponsored by Chase. And, you know, he'll just rattle off a minute or 2 minutes, and sometimes it's just enough to get the train back on the track. Well, he had one the other day. It was about 12 minutes long, and it was, it talked about, you know, what he considers to be one of his fears. And his number one is this list number one, so let's get in it. First of all, fear is a great motivator. And you can ask anyone who owns a business if fear helps them get up in the morning and do what needs to be done. And here are the top 10 fears of entrepreneurs. And the first one is a fear of failure. Now, hopefully if you're listening, you're sitting there going, I have that fear too. And you should have a fear of failure. Now, without a doubt, an entrepreneur's biggest fear is failing, understandably, because 95% of all businesses fail within the first 5 years. When you're starting out with those kinds of odds, it's okay to be a little freaked out. Even if you've been in business for 20 years, I still want you to have that nagging fear of failure in the back of your head, because that's going to drive you to work harder. That's going to drive you to work a lot smarter. That's going to drive you to get the processes in place, the people in place, so that you can't fail. Number two is economic uncertainty. Now, 5 years ago, the economy may not have been the forefront concern for a startup entrepreneur. I started my business in 2009. We were in the middle of the worst recession ever, and we've come out on the back end doing pretty well. But 5 years ago, like I said, the economy wasn't, you know, the forefront concern. But today, businesses big and small, young and old, are worried about what the declining economy means for them. A few weeks ago, we had the story about create your own economy. The harder you work, the more you're going to get out of it on the end. The third fear was about being your own boss. Now, as a small business, especially during the startup stages, there's very little stability and security. Now, unlike traditional employment, you probably don't have an office, employees, benefits, or a paycheck. And what you definitely don't have is a boss, someone guiding you along, pushing you to finish the next task. And maybe that's why you get a task management system, as we mentioned in the story before. The fourth fear is that what you're entering into is about to consume your entire life. Now, the idea of not having any time for yourself, neglecting your family, and giving up your social life can be terrifying. In the front stages, when you're first starting out, you kind of have to go all in. And you have to explain to the family, look, there will be late nights. Look, there will be times when I have to be out of town. There will be times when money will be tight. And if they're on board with it and will support you with it, then you're in a much better place. Right now, and I know it bothers my wife, because being Italian, you have to, if you're Italian, I don't know where it's written, but it is written somewhere, you have to have 3 square meals per day. So when I'm telling her I'm going to be staying late tonight to paint the store, all of a sudden she freaks out. Well, when will you eat? And I said, I don't care about eating. I got to get the paint on the walls, not the food in the belly. Again, you gotta balance it and say, I'll eat when I get home if it's not too late. You know, try to get her, you know, pacified a little bit, and then move on to, you know, getting back to painting the walls. But, you know, you don't want to neglect those who are there to support you. Number five is staying afloat. Now, you need money to start up, and you need money to operate, and you need money to grow. So throw the dismal economy into the equation when people are spending less and it's taking longer for small businesses to get paid, and money is even harder to come by. That's something that you have to constantly be working on, either with your banker, with various lenders, online vendors, whatever the case may be. If you have a way of getting capital, and it's, you know, not going to be charging you outrageous interest rates, then always knowing that you have that little reserve or a credit line can be helpful in dark times. And they mentioned a good thing in there. When it takes longer for small businesses to get paid, typically small businesses work on a net 10 or net 30 or 2% net 10 or a net 30 terms. And yet what I find is that a lot of those terms turn into, and it's not because the business owner wants this, it's because the customer is doing it. Suddenly they become net 60, net 90, and what I call net 90 plus. And that's because they're taking their time to pay you. So having the cash on hand to be able to meet payroll, buy materials is essential. Sometimes you also feel like you're on a higher wire with no net. Now, when you've been in your own small business and survived the early years that weed out most startups, you have the fear that you can never turn back to the devil you knew, i.e. traditional employment. The struggles of entrepreneurship make you forget why you left corporate America in the first place, and your memories become revised to dwell on how easy and happy it all was back then. But is it really, can you see yourself working for someone else after you've been your own boss for a while? Number seven, losing ground to the Joneses. Now, even though your business may be getting more profitable every year, you look at your old car in the driveway and the Joneses' new Lexus, and you feel that if only you'd stuck to being a corporate fill-in-the-blank, you know, position, that you'd have the new toys too. Number eight, the merry-go-round stopping. Your business is cooking, and you worry that somehow, someday soon, the phones will go silent and no one will want to sell, no one will want what you sell anymore. There are ways to prevent that, but it certainly is one of the top 10 fears of entrepreneurs. Number nine, you feel as if you're stuck in third gear. You know how to cruise at 40 miles per hour, but you need and want to do 90. Now, obviously, that's another metaphor, but you fear that you'll never break through the wall of your business being merely okay. And number 10, the emperor has no clothes. And the big daddy of all entrepreneurial nightmares, you dream that you're walking down the street and suddenly you discover that you forgot to put your shorts on. Perhaps it's, if you act natural, no one will notice, but lots of entrepreneurs think everyone else is smarter than they are and live in fear of the world finding out their secret. Don't be. If you've had success, then build off of that success and don't let anybody else, unless they're very good at what they do, tell you any differently. They don't know your business like you know your business, so make sure that you're working to the best of your potential, and also that you're that you are taking confidence, and that's a big word, taking confidence in that you've been successful this far. Now just build on it, and I have a way to do that in how to successfully expand your business. We're going to get right into that right after this message. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Good evening. This is Dr. Brock and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at theredmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express pass. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
100 Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.100andhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Glad you could join us. And as I mentioned before the break, there are ways to successfully expand your business. And if you look at what we've done at Crown Trophy for all the stores, but you know, what we've done in Flemington, you can see that we've kind of added on services and different business units over the years. It's helped us kind of eliminate the peaks and valleys of our sales cycle. Typically in the trophy industry, there's a spring busy season and a fall busy season. Now fill in the blanks. That means in the summer you starve, in the dark of winter you starve until you're waiting for those other busy seasons to ramp back up again. But how can you successfully expand your business? The first time we expanded, we went into the varsity jacket line, and we're selling hundreds of varsity jackets per year at various schools. The next thing we did was open up our sign shop. So now we have a full-scale sign shop in our business, and that's doing really well. Last year, we included custom imprinted apparel. And what you find is that now, what's the best way to say it? We filled in, if you will, the valleys somewhat. And if I were to share with you the sales information that we have, you would see that the peaks aren't as high as they used to be, and the valleys aren't as low as they used to be. Now, but recently I was talking with a fellow business owner about the status of her small business. And a few months ago, when we were talking, she raved about how much she loved her staff, how comfortable she was with her home and her work life, and how absolutely inundated she was with customers. Then last week, she told me that she's going to have to close her doors. And immediately I diagnosed her problem. She didn't expand her brand soon enough. Expansion is a risky business endeavor that requires more time, more money, more energy than your current enterprise. But once a business reaches a certain capacity, there are only really two options. You either grow or you die. Now, because my friend neglected to expand her business in any way with any other additional product offerings, her business regrettably bit the bullet. Now, if your business has been buoying in shallow business waters for some time, it might be time to head further from the coast with a much needed expansion. There are four big benefits of expansion. Expanding a business certainly does not come without a heaping dose of risk. If an expansion is done improperly, a business could flounder in a number of ways. You could spread your resources too thin, causing you to underperform across the board. You could underprepare for supply chain changes, disrupting your flow of supplies. You could neglect security measures during a transition and fall victim to a major data breach. However, if you are like most entrepreneurs, you are nothing if not daring, and in order to ensure that your business flourishes, you must take risk. Expansion is perhaps the most rewarding risk there is. Now consider the following benefits. You'll get better space, and location isn't just important in real estate. Having a properly placed business is a key component of success. By expanding, you can select a more profitable location to do business. You'll also have a bigger audience. By expanding into a new area or service, you have the opportunity to reach an entirely new group of people who could easily become dedicated fans, potentially doubling or tripling your current customer base. You'll get a better staff. Now, that's not to say that your current personnel aren't top-notch, but expansion provides the opportunity to hire talented employees with diverse skill sets who can help your business grow in new and better directions. And you'll get better financing. Securing initial financing is an entrepreneur's worst nightmare, but expanding allows you to show financial institutions that you are responsible with your business's money, and you should have access to whatever funding you need to grow. Now, there's also, you can't just jump into this and say we're expanding. You have to have kind of a plan. So here's a checklist for expansion. Now that you understand the importance of expanding at the proper time, you must learn when the proper time to expand is. Expansion shouldn't always immediately follow success. Expanding too soon is as dangerous as not expanding at all. You can use the following checklist to determine if you need to expand now or maybe put it off for a few months. If you aren't searching for customers, then it may not be the right time. Now, while you might maintain a low level of marketing, you don't have to expand a majority of your energy attracting new clients and customers. You might even have so much new work that you can barely field all of it. but always, always, always be looking for that potential new customer. You trust your team. A high-performing team is absolutely necessary for a high-performing business, but having a reliable group of employees is also mandatory during expansions when bosses will have less attention to spare on disappointing productivity. You also understand your limits. Now, just because you dominated your current market doesn't mean you can conquer another one. You should do your research before committing to expanding in a certain way. Sometimes, saying no allows you to grow in other ways. You have balanced work and life. Expansion takes twice the effort of simply managing a business. If you've recently expanded your family or in the middle of another big lifestyle change, you might want to put off expanding your business at the same time. Areas to expand. Expansion doesn't always mean adding square footage or picking up a second location. There are many ways your business can grow to be stronger and more profitable. Even if your business isn't quite ready to expand in one of the following areas, you might find benefits by expanding in a different one. The first is space. Now, if you're cramming merchandise into every nook and cranny, you might find or have the need to find a bigger and better location. Additional locations. A single brick-and-mortar store is easy to manage, but several locations can attract faraway customers that might not otherwise shop in your present location. Employees. A startup may have one or two workers. Now, while a small business could have up to 50, perhaps it's time that you added more staff in diverse positions to help your business grow. And digital locations. Social media is an invaluable marketing tool, and e-commerce promises to explode in profitability in the coming years. You might need to take a step into the world of digital business. So just a couple thoughts on expansion there. Hopefully they may help you as you try to expand your business, or at least look into whether or not it's time to expand your business. And again, it doesn't have to be all about size. Sometimes it's just product offering. Is there something similar to what you're currently doing, or are the markets similar that will help you grow? Well, this next one was kind of funny when I read it, but I get it, where they're coming from. It's 10 phrases that might instantly kill your business's credibility. And words can hurt your business. And here are some phrases that you and your employees should consider avoiding to preserve business credibility. Now, during World War II, the U.S. Office of War Information posted the slogan, "Loose lips sink ships," on posters. And it has since become an idiom that serves as a warning to avoid careless talk. At any small business, the wrong words can sometimes damage your business's credibility. For example, here are the 10 things people can say that could hurt a business interaction. If you're looking for more, we'll take them on our Facebook page after I give this list, if you have others that you feel are bad. So think about this as you're dealing with business. What if you use the terms sweetie or honey? Now, while you may sincerely have affection for the people that you work with, these words can be inappropriate. There can be too many opportunities for the terms to be misinterpreted as either patronizing or as a romantic overture. Instead, consider using the person's name, which can provide the personalization needed. Pointing a direct finger at a person usually doesn't help. Instead, find out why failure happened and what there is to learn. Saying, "Can I be totally honest with you? Does this mean that you weren't honest in the previous conversation?" Now, this can be a ridiculous statement. Even good business interactions should be assumed to be based on honesty. By asking for it at some point in the conversation, it can open up the idea that previously you were not telling the whole truth. Instead, consider saying something like, "I have always been totally honest with you, so that will not change." Using the term "with all due respect," this is usually followed by something negative or a point of disagreement. Again, does this imply you weren't showing the other person respect in the previous part of the conversation? Respect is the basis of any important business relationship. Instead, maybe say, "Since I have always respected you," and then lead on with your comment. Swearing. Some people use curse words for a special effect or as a joke. It's usually not funny and does not boost credibility. Instead, try talking louder or softer to achieve the same result. When you say things like, "I don't care about social media," this can show a lack of understanding and stubbornness to accept new ideas in the marketplace. Your credibility is not boosted inside or outside the company by not using social media like your customers are. Instead, consider saying something like, "I don't know a lot about social media, but..." and then reference somebody who might. Saying, "My competitor is horrible." Bad-mouthing a competitor is a negative selling tactic which likely will not boost your credibility. Furthermore, if you aggressively say bad things about their company, chances are they'll do the same about you. Instead, say why your company's solution is better than that of your competitors. Also, any political or religious comments. Now, this can be dangerous because you never know anyone's individual beliefs, and they'll typically keep any disagreements to themselves. This can be especially true in a presidential election year when emotions run high. Instead, say something like, "I try not to mix religion or politics with business." Saying it's their fault. Pointing a direct finger at a person usually doesn't help. Instead, find out why failure happened and what there is to learn. Then consider putting processes and people in place so it doesn't happen again. "I am the reason it was successful" is another term you shouldn't use. Just because you take credit doesn't mean people believe it. The reason third-party peer reviews can be so powerful is that someone else is saying how great the company is, not you. Instead, try to give away the credit. If you deserve praise, it can boomerang right back at you. And using terms like or this sounds like a lack of confidence or hesitancy about what you're saying. While this may not be the case, when you pause to say the other person may think, do they know what they're talking about? Or they may have drifted to think about another subject. In either case, practice speech patterns until you can pause and remain silent instead of using one of these filler words. Just a couple of rules there to on what terms and phrases you should not use in business. In NASCAR, in sports, Joey Logano won the fourth race in the chase for the Sprint Cup Championship at Charlotte Motor Speedway last Sunday to punch his ticket into the next round. This week, the teams will load the haulers for the short trip to Kansas Motor Speedway. And there were so many penalties handed out after the Charlotte race, I don't have time to go over all of them here, but you can check them out by going on to NASCAR.com. Some big names are losing pit stall selection and practice time as a result. In the NFL, tonight the Atlanta Falcons take on the New Orleans Saints to start week number 6 at 8:25 p.m. In the NCAA football, the top 10 looks like this. After some major shakeups last weekend, the Ohio State University holds down the top spot, followed by Baylor, TCU, Utah, and Clemson. Rounding out the top 10 are LSU, Michigan State, which falls after narrowly beating Rutgers, Florida, Texas A&M, and Alabama. Steve Spurrier has resigned effective immediately from the University of South Carolina football program and will be joining ESPN's Game Day this weekend. Steve Sarkisian was fired as head coach of the USC Trojans after a series of alcohol-related incidents and failing to make a team practice and allegedly being drunk while coaching at least one game. And the University of Texas mascot, a Longhorn steer named Bevo 14, has been diagnosed with cancer and will retire. In Major League Baseball, the playoffs are continuing.
What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Well, I'm sorry, Jim, but I have to talk about the playoffs. The Toronto Blue Jays have advanced to the American League Championship Series and will play the Kansas City Royals in that series starting on Friday. The Chicago Cubs, yes, those Chicago Cubs, have also advanced to the National League Championship Series. They will play the Game 5 winner of the Mets and Dodgers, which is being played tonight. The NLCS game will be held on Saturday. The NHL is back in action and on the ice, and it's way too early to start talking about playoffs there. And as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day, and maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook at Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I am taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon.